blessing of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sarinam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tapiampi, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Sarinam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatiampi, Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham, Sarinam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatiampi, Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajñam paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here in suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. So what should we look at this morning?
So I've been looking at a workshop around this writing project that I have. And it's fallen in beautifully. I've seen so much as it's running parallel with the communications.
Oh, yes. The communication email class.
Yeah.
I think it parallels with this project.
Because it is, after all, communication.
Uh-huh.
And what I've seen so far, it's just so amazing. It's like life just unfolds. It just unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can either be identified with the impediments, it's got to be in quotes because there really are no impediments. These perceived like commentary and, oh, that was good, or no, that wasn't good, or, all of this kind of static, around it. Or I can, actually the alternative seems to just not even be there, not even be in anything at all.
Not even being anything
at all.
At all. Yeah, yeah. The alternative to listening to, you refer to the statics.
Yeah.
Or impediments, quote impediments. So the alternative is just to not be anyone.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Just be. Because language is so tricky, but it's everything that the guide always says when she's talking about, like, as her role in the email class, she's just the fingers that are typing.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, last night I was one of my designated writing periods.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really tired after, the day of work and everything. So, and maybe that was sort of one of the blessed circumstances where I just didn't have the energy to be a somebody kind of commentary.
Sure. This wasn't the energy to have an impediment.
To get an ego, right. It's like, okay, I'm just going to do my commitment. And it was so interesting. And I think this is what people mention when they, I really don't know this, but I think what they call it wu-wei, where it's the effortless action.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's what, but anyway. But that's what it felt like. So I could overhear here, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to keep my commitment. Really, what's the big deal if that night I don't keep my commitment? And it's not, just like that.
Yeah.
And then while this is simultaneously, I'm just getting out my notebook, I'm sitting down at my desk, I'm getting my tea, I'm getting my pencil, all this, and I'm just watching that, no big deal. And then I look at the clock because I have a time thing, and then it's like, okay. And I could sit and think, oh my God, I've got 55 more minutes, you know. And then, you know, so all of this, I mean, so it's like the static didn't go away at all. It was still there. Oh my God, I've still got 40 minutes. Oh my God, I've still got 25 minutes. You know, it's like it was always there. But what was actually happening was just this writing.
Wow, yes.
And, like, I've heard, there's an artist in our Sangha who will sometimes talk about the experience of, that is really good, you know, and not taking any credit for it.
Yeah.
And I had that experience last night, and I was like, I think this is maybe going somewhere. And I just, you know, and it wasn't that I was doing it.
Uh-huh.
It was like, I can see this is beginning to take shape. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I can see that.
So as you described that, just being able to watch it beginning to take shape without a personal, attachment to it, like, this is something I did, but just from this place of interest, like you said, with the guy who's doing the email class and letting those answers come through, you know, in that same way, just not having anything to do with what was taking shape.
Exactly.
And that you started out by, you know, just watching life unfold.
Yeah.
Because certainly life was unfolding there. There was the time, there was the doing, the activity, even though concurrently there was this other life, this other conversation about I not want to do it, but still, you know, just letting life live.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and there was a response in the email class that just spoke to it perfectly, and it was, well, two of them actually. One was that called that life's interpreter. Okay, so there's all the insights, or there's just the life unfolding, and then there's life's interpreter.
Or somebody's interpreter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's in quotes, right? Right. Life's interpreter,
yeah.
Which is ego. That is just like, oh, well, that's good. All that static, right?
Yeah.
So there's that, and how the attention habitually would go to that, but doesn't need to. And then the other thing that was written in the email class that I found so helpful was the image of plucking the insight out of the stream for oneself. It's like the insights just happen.
Uh-huh.
And is there a, let's see, how did she say it? Something like, is there someone who's like plucking the insights out of this ongoing stream to have for myself?
Uh-huh.
And that felt like that same staticky process too.
Uh-huh.
Or it felt like, actually maybe it's a little distinct from that staticky process, but it's certainly not that just unfolding of there not being anyone there.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
So just seeing that, you know, there's this flow, the stream of insights that just comes from life, and not being in the place of plucking them for oneself.
Yeah.
But just letting life unfold, and maybe, I don't know, if it's letting life pluck them.
No, it's not that there's no leaving the stream.
There's no leaving the stream.
Yeah, they don't. There's the very act of plucking them out would be like, that was good. Let's take this and write this and that. No, that's not the process.
Okay.
It is more of the dissolving into the stream.
Dissolving into the stream and just being one with all the insights without having to separate them out.
You know, an insight that's dropping in right now came from, oh my gosh, I don't know if it was a practice intensive or a email class, but every now and then it'll pop up on one of my recordings. But it was this beautiful story, Zen story or image or something about the stream and the little bubbles in the stream. And I asked the bubbles, who are you? And they would say, well, we're bubbles, of course. And then they would flow along. And then every now and then, whoever the story would go, I would ask these bubbles, who are you? And they would say, we are this stream.
Uh-huh.
Do you see? So it's like it's the difference of thinking, I'm a bubble.
I'm a bubble.
Of course.
Yeah.
Or, no, we're this stream.
We're this stream.
That's the difference between the plucking.
Uh-huh.
I'm not separate from the stream where I can like pluck that out.
Yeah.
I am, and it's not, again, language doesn't work, it's not like I am the stream, but the stream is what we are.
Yeah, the stream is what we are. Different form, maybe, but just the stream is what we are. And as you described it, just seems so relaxing to not have to be the one plucking the insides out, but just to just be at one with it and watch what unfolds.
Yeah, and there was something really fortunate about being so tired last night that I just, I was like, I got to see how the energy would get spent on that other process, the staticky process.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the blessing of being sick, right? You just don't have the energy to give to ego. You go ahead.
That was great. Just seeing that tiredness put you in a state of where there wasn't the energy to mess with the static.
Yes. I just didn't, I just wanted to do my commitment and go to bed. And then turns out that was just, I had all kinds of energy after that.
Wow, there's just that energy sucker.
Yep.
I'm too tired, I can't do it. This is like, oh my God, there's 50 minutes.
Yes.
And then to just do it and realize the energy that was almost, you might say, that being one with the stream is just being one with all of that available energy.
That is it. Yeah, that's it. That is it. And of course, it speaks to the power of the practice commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just showing up for it.
Yes.
Participation, because I had all those email exchanges in my awareness. This is like. And just the guidance to look at, how is that foot on the gas, foot on the brake happening? That energy, and all it was is just a turning of the attention to that. What? Is this bad? Is this not good? Is this working? Is this taking shape? All of that kind of stuff. And that's the mechanism where the energy leak, I think, happens, is that turning of the attention all the time.
Yeah, so there was the keeping a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I might say, a commitment to participation.
Mm-hmm.
And there was keeping the guidance,
mm-hmm.
following the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So you might say that that was the job that this human had to do.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, as you described, was just watching life unfold.
Yeah, because if I can, I want to just explore for just a second that wu-wei,
mm-hmm.
if that's indeed what it's called, that effortless action. Because I talked about in Thursday night's group about this flipping into this place of just kind of authority or power or presence, mm-hmm. And that feels related, mm-hmm. like there was really no me there. And yet the evidence of something really powerful or goodness happening was there.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We would think it would be, we're conditioned to think just the opposite.
Yeah.
I have to develop this me to be have authority and have power. And you're describing this experience of, the less me there is, the more that authority and power. It was your experience last night.
Yeah.
The more of that was available.
Yeah, and I recently finished a book about Gandhi, and he always would say he's reducing the self to zero.
Reducing the self.
And and that's what it feels like it's pointing to. And then I was thinking of one of his quotes that. That was in the book, something like, anybody can accomplish everything that I have if they're willing to devote themselves to the practices, the disciplines to do this, to reduce the self to zero. And again, I went back to the, wow, I'd love to do that. I I would love to do that with my life. And you know, and the mentor was like, duh. You know, it was like, what about these, you know.
That's great. So the mentor caught that little distraction there of, I wish I had this. I'd love to have that kind of life.
Yeah.
Like, hey, wait a minute. Yeah,
maybe just devote yourself to the disciplines and the practices. It's like, okay, what do we just name off?
You know? Yeah, exactly. There was that devotion.
And that, oh, I would love to, oh, I want that. I want that is the illusion of that identity.
Yes.
You know, it's that, or it's that creation of the illusion.
Yes, the creation of that illusion that thinks they don't have what's right there being.
So, and there's just no other. I mean, I can watch, you know, even in the going to this place just really appreciating that, having had that effortless action experience and all of that. I can see the sort of the tail of the snake kind of whipping around to one that, well, what I'm trained and I think we're trained to do is, no, let's just stay with the gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stay with thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all.
And just stay with the gratitude as you watch the, as you say, the tail of the snake just come around and like, okay, now we've got this. You know, now if I do X, Y, and Z, this, you know, is going to happen, and I can plan it. I can control it.
I can practice this,
and
I can
practice this.
Yeah.
Instead of just staying with the gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Scott? Not all of that. I just had that image of having the foot on the gas and on the brake. I remember feeling like that, like I lost so much of my adult life before I became aware of awareness practice. I just could never, like, what is that? Feeling like, you know, the gas is on, but this thing keeps stopping.
Uh-huh.
You know, and of course, at that point, everything was me. So it just felt like, you know, of course, the conclusion was, why isn't there just something wrong with you? And then you were like, well, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, just accepted that. And then, you know, I love that description of how, because it's like life is the gas, it's the flow. It's
the gas.
And the break is just the attention going over to the illusion.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, that's so fun to see because there is no break.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all just attention going to an illusion.
Yeah.
And we get to feel how that feels. So the attention goes to the illusion. It feels like truncated life force or a breaking of the flow, but it doesn't change that life is flowing.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Just so much before awareness practice, you know, that foot on the brake, the gas pedal and the brake simultaneously just meant something was wrong with you. Because it just, you know, it seemed to just be happening here. And, as far as we know, no one else was doing, you know. And then to just see with awareness practice, it's a focus of the attention. And that, you know, life is just flowing all the time.
Yeah.
Can't get out of the flow of life.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really what's been coming up for me, that life is occurring. You know, and the identity, the can flounder around and say no and want something different and try to improve it. They can do all that flopping and floundering around all that they want. But that doesn't change that the gas is on. You know, so I mean we can get distracted by that and that'll be our life experience, but it's not a requirement. I mean, it's just so clear, and we talk about this a lot, but that it's somehow being added to, like layered on top of what actually is occurring.
The identity is just getting layered on what is actually occurring, and it can flop around and do everything it wants, but it doesn't alter the fact that there's just this continual life flow.
Yeah. And it's just been my experience over and over again. It was like, well, great, why don't I just let go of that? But the identity, the attention on being me, it's just, oh, I have this feeling of saying that last share. Like, I have to hear the feel the resonance, and then here comes the break, like, as kind of applying it here.
No,
and you know, I've been talking about this workshop of being ill, and it fits in with a Shrini that the Mira says. I've heard her say it several times, like, well, we can just know as a truth that whatever you're clinging to will be taken away from you. So you can say no and talk around and go along with that. That's totally fine. But if you don't let go, then it will. You'll be encouraged. We'll say
you'll be encouraged.
Like, or you know how just an unprecedented, really long sickness, you know, and so you see what you need to see, and it's like, okay, all right, okay, so then I could just feel this, like, I hate this, you know, and then as I was listening to the last conversation, there was that movement that we're always practicing. Lately, I've been turning to the body as a mentor, and all of a sudden I'm set back enough to see this whatever form that says, I hate this. You know, but I can also see that form, and they were making this recording this morning, reading Bamboozle number 12 about eye illusion and everything that's possible when we let go of the eye. And I know that experience. Not an accident, but that's what I was reading this morning out of all this. And what occurred was it's taking shape nicely.
It's taking wow.
This waking up process. That there's nothing wrong with it. It's all in life. It's just simply the process.
Yeah.
And then again, you just feel the resistance. No.
Yeah.
You can't wrap me into this. It's all okay now. Yeah. You know, because that would be the end of it also. So I could just know every time I hear that, no, I'm heading in the right direction. You know, because that's just life embracing with compassionate awareness, anything and everything. And of course, if it's ego, then it just dissolves. And so it doesn't want to dissolve. So it's going to do what it does. I can't get it right. Or if I just do this. You know, if I could write a book, that would be really, you know, just all of that stuff. And then, you know, there's that stream. And the bubbles, there's no bubbles, it's just streams. And then, no, I'm a bubble. I'm going to be a bubble, and I'm a bubble, and here, I'm going to tell you about a conversation. It has to be a conversation.
It has to be a conversation. That's a good point. Really, there's, you know, just that, oh gosh, there's just so much. Yeah, every time you hear that, no, you know, as you say, I'm a bubble or whatever, you know, then you know that that's like that identity or that ego just fighting to maintain its existence.
Yeah.
And that's just so wonderful that, you know, it's all just held in compassion.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. You know, it's so perfect the way it's unfolding.
Seems like it. I mean, that sickness workshop, I mean, I know there is no other parallel universe, but I really can't imagine that experience outside of this training. Like, it just felt like this has to be for me in this particular environment and circumstance, because what would I do out in the world with that? Would I run around to a bunch of doctors? Or, you know, like, it just felt like tailored for Scott, and the timing of it was... didn't seem like an accident at all. And that's that place where it's taking shape nicely.
Wow. And to be able to have this period of this health challenge and to just say, well, it's taking shape nicely. It just seems like that put like almost 2 feet in the stream.
So just the last part of this that I'm noticing is, it's kind of interesting because I re-injured my toe really good in the middle of November, and it's interesting, the toe also wasn't healing, similar to how the illness wasn't healing. And so it feels like I've been sick for since the middle of November in a way. I've been really, really hampered in terms of physical fitness, and that identity has really come to the forefront. And I think that was part of the interesting thing. There wasn't this place to that I had to sort of relax and be with the energy. The point to all that is now that actually the toe got some really good rest while I was sick. That was a huge side benefit. Mm-hmm. And the illness is the energy is definitely returning. You know, yesterday I did a full day's work and steps, and you know, it was good. It's like I can feel it trying to grab onto that energy. Okay, so now what are we going to do to him?
Yeah.
If we can't obsess and have all the attention on the physical toe, uh-huh. feet, uh-huh. or on the health, then now let's find something else.
Uh-huh.
And just to be know that that's what's happening. And I mean, what a fun thing to do. We'll grab out the energy. Great. Uh-huh. You know, uh-huh. what would you like to do that would serve life?
Uh-huh.
Would serve the human being? Because there's a million things that I enjoy when that's available.
Yeah.
But it's gonna wanna it's gonna want me to get into some big behaviors that I stop doing. It's gonna wanna start worrying about something else or make it a problem that I'm not further along in practice or you know all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you. Back to the thank you. Ending all those conversations brings me right back to that energy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a life force
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
I have abilities.
Mm-hmm.
I can move.
Wow.
I can sing. Mm-hmm. I can dance. I can clean stuff, you know.
Uh-huh. Wow, I'm alive. And you started out by this saying that the body is being the mentor right now.
Yeah, so we know that hourly check-in that people have been doing. I've been down to a half-hour check-in because that's what was needed. And I'm just turning to the body and saying, you know, I love coaching because I get to steal from all the people who do coaching and they have all these great things they're doing. You know, body, I've been just doing different things like, what would take care of you now, body? Or, body, what are you seeing right now? And, you know, the body's just no reviews.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
no, we don't have to think about this symptom in your body.
Uh-huh.
Every time it's just bringing the attention back to the breath, back to the body.
Yeah.
And it just feels so true. There is no problem.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And it's just been fun to, in a place where there's been, quote, so much damage.
Exactly.
Is now I'm looking kind of like, almost like a vision with
uh-huh.
that I have to try to fix and get uh-huh. back together so I can do my life.
Yeah.
Is now seen as, thank you for asking the question, now seen as the guide.
Yeah, that's what, this place, I mean, when you describe it, almost been like a battleground,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, just like, watching all of this unfold.
Yeah.
And to turn to it now and see the wisdom of it and actually embrace it as a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and just real quick on that battleground, it really has been.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watched that once it becomes a division like that
mm-hmm.
and a battle,
mm-hmm.
then all kinds of things are justified. All kinds of self-hating behaviors
mm-hmm.
were,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't even see until I got out of them how much I was into that, and it
mm-hmm.
seemed sort of normal or okay
yeah.
or justified.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we get any war, when you step out of a war, what are we doing?
Yeah, exactly.
We're killing
each
other.
Exactly.
Stop.
That's not what my heart wants.
No.
Let's not do this.
No.
Not, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So that's the piece, I guess, now is the body as mentor or guide.
Yeah. The body as mentor and guide.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
it doesn't want to talk. It doesn't want me to talk. It's kind of, it's making some headway today. Yeah,
it's making some headway.
Yeah, it's got some good stories going and they're loud.
Mm-hmm.
And, so it likes having the floor, in this internal floor, I guess. So it knows that when I come to group and talk about it out loud, that invariably it loses its power.
Yeah.
So it's just throwing everything at me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But the reminder that we just heard that there is nothing to do but just get back in the body, get back in the breath, to the breath, back in the moment.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
That's kind of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's fighting that.
It's fighting not to be in the body, back to the breath, and to stay in this conversation about
yeah.
it. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked recently about backlash. I think this is backlash too. Seeing the difference between identification and self-hate.
Yeah.
The difference, let's see. Say about it other than what I've just said, that it is just fighting.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
Yeah, you had this big insight that you've described it as being really life changing
yeah.
to see that difference between the identity and self hate. And boy, you experienced a backlash with that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is. It's doing its best to get me to say out loud what it's saying to me.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of a big waste of time
mm-hmm.
at this point.
Mm-hmm. Except for it, to keep it, the attention on it, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so turning the attention. Moment by moment away from the space inside the skull
mm-hmm.
and to the body
mm-hmm.
to the breath
mm-hmm.
to the moment
mm-hmm.
remembering the commitment that this is the year of love
mm-hmm.
That one slips away. That is a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
That's just that. Mm-hmm. One of those dark or unillumined places. Over for me.
Uh-huh. Would you say more one of the dark and unilluminated places?
Yeah, just that. I guess I have an idea of. Who I would be and how I would feel and how I would act and how I would think.
Uh-huh.
If connecting to love with capital L
uh-huh.
were just something, were just available,
uh-huh.
was just here for
uh-huh.
to be connected to.
Uh-huh. So do you feel like you're being given a set of standards that
yes,
that
I guess so.
You would meet?
I guess so. I can tell it's pretty clear what love isn't.
So yeah, it's so great. You're seeing what love isn't and recognizing that. And it's interesting. It's just as what you're describing seems very similar to what Rebecca and Scott were talking about too. That it's just going on about how, you're not meeting those standards, you're not living in your love, you can't remember what. And here's this person in group showing up, keeping the commitment, and it's just doing its.
Yeah, thank you for that. Getting to this place where so much of what up and said out loud, has of the years been inaccurate?
What you said has been inaccurate.
Yeah. Or that's the story I get afterwards. Or here's what happens. It takes the voice. It takes the capacity to speak. It takes the mental processes and says something entirely different from what the intention was to say. It's shocking when it happens.
It's shocking when it can even take over our our voice and our mind.
Yeah.
And we end up saying things that we did not intend to say, or you know, it's just like, wow, look at that. That just fell out.
And then afterwards, when you know, there's a review and there's the judgment and there's that whole routine. Let's see, I was going somewhere with this. Where was I going? There's a tendency to want to talk a lot about this, about what I'm going through right now, about what is happening this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel it wanting to do the talking, not so much revealing what it says to me. It just wants to talk. Am I making any sense?
Yeah. You can just feel that internal push to talk to. As you might, what you were saying, it might, you know, might say for it to have the voice, for it to have the floor,
to make that stuff. It likes to make it stuff that sounds good on paper, but doesn't really touch anything.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it even sound good on paper, but it likes to make up stuff thinking that it sounds good. But it's not touching authenticity. It's not touching the heart.
So what is, what truly wants to be said from authenticity? It is fighting. Oh my God! Just watch this barrage. I think the truest thing I ever say is what incredible life I have.
Truly
incredibly fortunate.
Truly, what an incredible life and how incredibly fortunate.
Yeah.
And that whole conversation would be going on to distract one from the fact of the incredible life and the fortune.
Yeah. And it's all in the flow. And when I don't meet standards, it's determined to separate me.
Mm-hmm.
To separate me out from the flow, and make me wrong. I think we were just talking about that.
You just see the way it works to try and pull you aside, pull you out of the flow. Yeah, just to keep your attention there.
And it's good to see that ideas about love and light, letting life lead and that kind of thing aren't helpful. Having ideas of how that looks or feels.
Yeah, you can just see how that's so not helpful to have any idea. Have any idea what's authentic? Have any idea what's life leading?
Well, and yes, because because I don't have much of an idea, mm-hmm. and so I look really hard to try to figure out what that means, so that I'll have an idea, mm-hmm. and I suppose the point there is to see whether or not I'm doing it right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's the old, I mean, it's simple, the same thing we struggle with from day one is getting a definition, getting a direction, getting the rules, getting here's how it. Mm-hmm. Here's what Zen practice is. Here's how to do it.
Yeah, all that flailing. Yeah, to get it right. And when we started the conversation this morning, what it started with being in the body, coming back to the breath. Yeah.
Living in gratitude. I will practice this thing, this gratitude thing.
this breathing thing.
This
being in the body thing. This.
There was one of those exchanges that just happened that caught my attention. I can't remember right now, but something like how outlandish ego is, you know. And mm-hmm. and the guide recording that she sent out with the email class about looking at conditioning, not looking through conditioning, or you know, something like that, was just so helpful. And as people are referring to it in their email responses, you know, submissions, it's just to keep it in the front of our awareness. And I saw an example of that, and it's around the my daughter's job mm-hmm. situation, the workshop that I'm having around mm-hmm. my daughter's job mm-hmm. situation.
Daughter's in a line for a job, and it's a workshop for mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I found that daughter got the job. We are very excited. And I mean, when she told me, my initial reaction was just to yell and scream and whoop and holler and mm-hmm. dance. And I think I scared her cat because I think I was on speakerphone. but it was so just pure joy and delight and celebration. Mm-hmm. And then she told me she found out on Tuesday. So she'd known since last Tuesday, and I could see this is the egocentricity part of it. So mm-hmm. the looking at ego, I could see that means she found that she got it even before I had my great realization. So it wasn't my insight that helped her get my prayers to help her get the job. Darn it, you know.
Yeah.
And it was such a classic too, you know, Enneatype. Like, I've got to be useful in this. It's got to be somehow about me helping, you know.
Mm.
And I just saw it and just. Of course, it couldn't carry any. It didn't. It just couldn't have any room in the hoop and hollering, and the mm-hmm. joy was just too big. Mm-hmm. But it was so good to see.
Oh God, so good to see. There is this spontaneous joy that's just coming from Yahoo.
Yeah.
And then it comes in with its little
niggly.
I know, to make it about you and to bring it down, bring the joy down a bit.
It was so laughable.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good to see because. Because it's just good to see how utterly ridiculous it is. It's talking about like I have this amazing, incredibly blessed life, or however, mm-hmm. Incredible life, fortunate. Mm-hmm. And then here's this telling, and so here's this amazingly, she's been waiting like working 7 years for an opportunity like this.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
And to get it. And then here's the, but I didn't make it happen. Oh my God.
Isn't that?
So you can see it for what it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever this is, can you imagine having its job? I have to turn every good thing in life.
Oh my God, that is such a good point. What a downer.
Yeah.
And to see how amazing it is to be free of that.
To be free of it, absolutely.
So utterly amazing it is that we know how mm-hmm. to. We are. We know how
utterly
to do it.
Utterly amazing.
We know how to practice it.
Yeah.
We know the secret to the universe, basically.
Really.
Really. Yeah.
That's not you that had that.
And what's more is seeing it. It every time it reveals itself,
mm-hmm.
it loses. Its power,
yeah.
Because then in the less whoop and hollering kind of moment, when it might not be as obvious, it'll ring familiar. Like, wait a minute, this isn't me.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I felt this before.
Exactly. This is starting to get to be. Yeah, there's something very familiar about this. Mm-hmm. That I have experienced before. That it's wanting to direct my attention to.
Yes.
Something down, and this kind of feels like the same thing, maybe different content, but
kind of that I smell a rat.
I smell a rat. Yeah. And what a miracle to see that, know that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
To be able to have that kind of a distance.
Yes, and another a benefit of having had this blessed kind of opening moment of Yahoo was I could say to her, it's sort of like, it hasn't been an easy 7 years mm-hmm. for this girl. It really hasn't. And having this huge celebration moment, this yes, thank you moment, seemed to open the door or shed a light. Anyway, what I heard myself say to her was, man, if you don't see, if we don't see how well we are taken mm-hmm. care of in mm-hmm. every single moment, how mm-hmm. things unfold perfectly for our well-being, we're just not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Not only is now, but always has been.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just not paying attention. And she was kind of quiet, and she referred to, she said, that kind of made me tear up. Because there was something about her struggle, the struggle that mm-hmm. she has had for the last mm-hmm. 7 years, and then to have this happen,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I think it may be what Phil talks about when she talks about the consolations or something. Mm-hmm. It sort of like opens the way for a light to be shown on how utterly well cared for we are, because and she always has been. I don't know how else to say it. It's like you can look back on this span of time, one whole life actually, but let's just say for this span of time, and see it was all okay.
It was all okay.
And you can only see it in a way from the light of the thank you God kind of moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Seems very similar. Process to the one we've described all morning is, there's the going along. You may not be able to see that, you're in the flow of life and that you're being supported and cared for, because the attention might be over here on how difficult everything is. And, I project, I wouldn't know anything about this, but sometimes you feel completely abandoned. This can't, there's nobody here at all.
I'm on my own.
And then, and then after a time, like you say, whether you want to call it the consolations or you know, it's like, oh my gosh, the vista opens up.
Yes.
And you can see that all along there's been support. There's,
yes.
That this is all, you know, like Scott was saying, this is just
tailor-made.
This could not have gone any other way except if it wasn't tailor-made for this human being.
Yeah. And it gives, in that same way I was just talking about how good it is to see that ego thing so we can kind of recognize it later. It's like, because when times get hard again, which they inevitably will, we can know, oh, wait a minute, I was taken care of then. I'm probably being taken care of now.
Yeah.
You know, and I just may not feel it, but I can, it's that ever-expanding faith, knowing, okay, this is fine too.
Yeah,
I love that image of the vista opening up. That's exactly what I was trying to express.
You get to the peak of one mountain and you go, oh, wow, yeah, okay, I can see the trail I traveled.
Yes.
And, you know, I see how I got here.
Yeah.
And, God, now I get to relax and have this beautiful view before I try the next thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And the journey goes on.
And the journey goes
on.
And
it's all good.
Yeah.
Themes of gratitude and showing up and being so well taken care of there. Really another nice thing I got to see by kind of being out sick is when we're at the monastery, you're really basically quarantined.
Yeah.
And so it is an opportunity to step out of, I'm not in the routine, I'm not doing anything that I would normally do. And there are just some things that are just so beautiful. So like one of the things after you get sick at the monastery is that someone serves you meals. And there was something about not being a part of the regular flow, or I'm in the kitchen and setting up the table and putting something in the dish, or maybe cook, helping to chop things. Just it's simply showing up in the presentation that it did. It just felt like I kept feeling like I was at this really amazing restaurant, and they were just kept saying it's on us. So and even the way that it was put on the plate, it just reminded me like, gosh, I don't think about that at all. I just kind of plop stuff on the plate, put it in the mouth. And I just got to see how what I project is all the thought that goes into all I know that we do around what we decide to prepare, how we, you know, where we buy it. And even, I think, maybe even just on the plate, what's there and the colors and the things that fit the season. And it just felt so perfect. And I just project. Too recently, there's just been feels like another level of attention put into the food, and just, you know, like things like escarole soup that we've had lots of times, like, whoa, this is amazing, or something new, like cream of mushroom, like, whoa, this is so good, and even like the black bean spinach casserole, just, a lot of times we it's kind of more like a casserole, sort of like, it's in tortillas, but it's just kind of in it, but these were like, somebody really took the time to put everything in they were separate like little burrito things. That little level, I don't know, it was just so, I kept looking at it. I couldn't open my hand and just marveling. I don't know, it was just, and it's interesting because I noticed I've kind of lost that going back in, and back to plopping it on there. Anyway, but my point around that, and then another thing was, so I was staying in the dorm, and so things were going on. I mean, I was out, but everything was going on as it does, including meditations and groups. So I put my little sneaky identity to good use, and I just like kind of cracked the door when it's meditation time so I could hear the recitation. And sometimes I couldn't really quite hear the words, but I heard the rhythm. It was like a heartbeat.
Gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. Me too, actually. and then the third thing that really stood out to me was I was pretty much just on the porch to come, you know, get my meal. And there's this amazing thing, I don't know if people who come here would notice, but to me it's so obvious. We've been cleaning under the eaves, which had years of cobwebs that do not, you can't blow them out, you can't take a brush and brush them out, you actually have to get a rag with water and scrub them out. Mm-hmm. And so folks have been getting up on ladders and taking out the little mud daubers' nests up there, it's amazing. They look, it looks brand new. It's almost like something's missing. Something's supposed to be out there. Because I'm so used to it. The only time I've ever seen it, since however long I've been coming here, it was with all those webs and different things in there. And it's just like that presence. I mean, to me, that's that. All of those things are life. All of them are the heartbeat of God, or however you want to talk about it. And that freshness of those eaves. Just, and they're not just take a little thing, get some of the web. That's good enough. I mean, people are up there scrubbing it, so it looks brand new. And it's like, that is how life cleans. You know, and so what I was seeing about all that was in that little karma furnace that I was in door number two, there was this something, I was surrounded by presence that kept a hand, or I could reach out and put a presence could reach out and put a hand on presence and remind me what's possible when I was felt really lost. And I was thinking how often that goes on. I hear that in group. Yeah, then I would get the group recordings, and I would have another level of like, oh my gosh, people are doing amazing practice. I can't believe what they're seeing. This is so, and the way they're articulating it, it's just like all of those examples, the meals, the heartbeat of the recitation, the cleaning of the eaves, it was all like, this is what's possible for a human being. And it just, and I know it was just mirroring the experience that I've had over and over through practice. You know, it's not separate from me.
Yeah.
It just, it was the mirror giving energy to what's here rather than it being mirrored by ego.
Yeah.
And it's like, that kind of kept the attention on the light, even though it could feel really dark.
Yeah.
And it's like, gosh, I can't thank you, life. I mean, it was almost, I mean, now that I say it, it was almost sort of perfect to feel like in the dark, to feel kind of like crazy at times, and then just juxtapose, have that mirroring of light to see what's possible. I mean, you could really see what was providing the life force and the inspiration and the truth, and what was pulling me down, draining the energy, and just having those together. Mm-hmm. I think it's always kind of helpful because it makes the choice more that, yes, that's there, and this is there.
Yeah. It's just a strong image of, I don't really have a memory of this, but, you know, when before birth, and we're in that dark womb, and right now we just don't know anything, but you can hear the heartbeat of the mother, and there's that connection to life, and you describe that, you know, just being sometimes in this really dark place, going through what kind of birth you do not know, or which, you know, what's going to happen to you, you know, where this is all leading. But the whole time there's that heartbeat going on that just is like a touchstone and holding the whole experience.
Actually, that's kind of in what we've been talking about.
Holding
all the experience. All that rhythm, that flow, that river, it's always there.
It's always there. It's always there. Yeah, I think that's when we hear those folks playing drums and the, you know, and it takes us to that heartbeat and it's like, we know it's there.
When you're saying it, it's like, and we know that's what's true.
And we know that's what's
true. That's why I think it's good to have that going on. You can feel the rhythm. Yeah. You can feel your own heartbeat.
Yeah,
you can
feel
that heartbeat that is all of life. Yeah. We're almost just going, boom, 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 you know,
Exactly. It's just like what you were saying. That's the wisdom of the body. It's the mentor of the body. It's that heart. You know, just tuning back to that heartbeat, to the breath, to the sensation.
Yeah, and then you have something come up that's like, you know, or just repetitive over and over, and you just know that that's static.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that's not this.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh, that's good to see.
This feels off. It does not at all feel good, like, you know, dancing to my heartbeat. You know, it's just this. You know, we just know. We just know. I have been, I recently read War and Peace, and I just love that Tolstoy makes the point in there, like you said earlier, like, it's crazy. We go to war, we completely go against everything in our being. There's nothing in us that would ever want to do that. Mm-hmm. Ever. And, you know, so, you know, you just describe that it is that crazy place when we get to, when the ego becomes the only thing there is. But, you know, the practice, you know, oh, we get to come back to the heart. We get to come back to what's real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just really see there's no question about the choice.
Mm-hmm. And there is no fear in letting that thing that wants to go to war.
Yeah.
That I don't need to do that for you. Mm-hmm. I don't need to feed that. I need to give that attention.
Yeah. It's just not what I'm about.
Yeah, and when we're in that heartbeat and that love, that becomes very clear.
Well,
there's nothing in your body to reward.
There's just nothing else. Nobody else I'd rather be.
Yeah, which, you know, again, why Sherry says get out of the conversation over and over and over again, because as long as you're in the conversation, that's not clear.
Yeah.
But as soon as you are, it is.
Yeah.
And just to keep practicing that so we get used to, we are that heartbeat.
We are that heartbeat.
We are that love.
Yeah.
That is what we are, not the brainwashing that we're something else.
Yeah.
We know that. It's just, we just got to practice that.
We just got to practice.
And have that presence. I think sometimes I'm just like, just stay here as long as you, keep living here as long as you can, buddy. Like, as long as you can do it, just keep, just go for it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I know that I have the best chance for me and for everyone I ever touch, to be of service. The best chance I have of all of that is to continue to live in the monastic environment.
Yeah.
Because that gives me the best chance to wake up and end suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, why do we get to leave, and why don't we, do we get to go do this, or how about that? You know, just like, just hang in there.
Just hang in there. But somebody's heart knows that it's the best chance. It's the best chance to be in presence and to really be a true service.
A true service.
Yeah.
Yeah.